All right, start it. Let me see. Okay. All right, so tonight we're with Spencer Dawson of AXPCB in Panama City. And so where are you from?
I'm from Panama City Beach, Florida.
Yeah. All right. And then any websites or social media you want to promote?
Social media, I have Facebook, AXPCB. TikTok, AXPCB underscore airbrush. I think we're also on YouTube. YouTube is AXPCB also, I believe.
Yes. Okay. All right, you got to bear with me a little bit. It's the first time I'm going live, and I move too much.
That's all right.
How long have you been airbrushing?
They're about 35 years or so, 35 or 36 years. But I think there's a 10 to 12 year gap in there that I didn't paint, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably about 20 to 25, I think, is what I think I've come up with.
25 years. That's still a pretty good time, though. That's still a good amount of time. Yeah. So how did you find out about airbrushing?
I grew up in the business. My grandfather owned a shop here on the beach. He opened his first airbrush shop in '76, I believe it was. My uncle was the airbrush artist. Was one of the first out here on the beach that learned it. And just sort of grew up, you know, taking orders, stretching shirts, doing the whole thing, you know, just, you know, doing my work in the family business sort of thing. And it's from that step, took it from my uncle to, from the airbrushing, learned how to airbrush from him. And, that's where I'm at now, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So you asked the next question, but, so what kind of airbrush did you learn on?
I learned on the Pache VL3s.
And you were talking about how you think they lost their they're not as good as they
used. VL3s, so they've changed the way they're designed a little bit, and they're just a little bit, I think they're a little clunky to me a little bit, I guess. Mm. Compared to where they used to be.
I used to use a Badger Vega 2000, and I guess I had an old one, but it was perfect, and then I bought some of the new Badgers Vegas. And it just felt like when you push too hard, it would bend the trigger, and it was like, but that's when I started out on Vegas.
Yeah, and I only think you can take, because I like to be able to take my tip apart so I can see the needle, and the Pache's, you can't do that anymore. It's all covered to protect the needle now, and I don't like that.
Mm. I know Jaime used to have a, you know Jaime Rodriguez? You ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so he used to have he would take the front part of the airbrush and he would grind it down to where you'd be able to pick at your needle. I don't know if it was on what gun it was on. Maybe it was on Badgers.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I like to be able to see my needle and see what's on the tips and stuff like that. Be able to pick them.
You're actually the first person I've ever heard. Never heard of Jaime Rodriguez. Everybody always Jaime Rodriguez. Yeah. So did you start in the shop or were y'all like? Oh, you said you was in the shop on the beach.
Yeah, we owned a shop. It was an airbrush shop. It was blank t-shirts. But basically what we did was we would do the buy the t-shirt, airbrush was free. So yeah, it was basically they would stay packed.
But they stayed packed.
And they would have about 30 designs they would do. Basically, it was just basic beach scenes with a name or a name design or something. It wasn't anything too elaborate, but that was what people knew my family as, was the airbrush free family.
Airbrush free family. But I guess the t-shirt would probably make up for the price of.
Yeah, they would sell the t-shirts for about $9-$10. And that was in the 70s and 80s too, so.
Oh yeah, that's when it was first starting out, huh? When it was big back then on the beaches. Have you ever worked for anybody else? Or you just only work for your family?
Basically everything goes now I just rent space out from inside shops. I don't really work for somebody. I have partners that I work with. Because basically I only work weekends. I'm a weekends guy. I have a regular job that I work Monday through Friday. I had a hard time making airbrush full-time work where I could actually afford to just airbrush and afford the family stuff, the insurance, the stuff like that. So Basically, I took an office job, do an office job, and I do this Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Man, that sounds like a good schedule.
It is. Yeah. Especially because I've been in this, like the shop that I'm in now, I've been in that shop, particular shop, for 10 years. So anybody that comes in now, they have to work around what my schedule is.
Yeah.
And I happen to have good partners right now that they don't want to work weekends anymore. They're over that whole, they like making a little bit extra money here and there. So, and his wife is, I believe, is a nurse, and she's off on the weekends. So he likes to be off on the weekends. So, and he's to the point where he's almost about to retire. So it works out really well for me and my partners right now. Mm-hmm. And I like working the weekends because that's where the most of the money is anyways.
Yeah. Fridays, Saturdays. Well, I don't work Sundays. I started taking Sundays off. I don't know if you could see the question, but somebody, one of the Facebook users asked, have you worked with Pat?
Pat Gaines?
Yeah, Pat.
I've never worked with Pat directly, no. I know who Pat is. I've talked to him pretty regularly about different things. He's asked me a few times to come work for him in Orlando and up in Pigeon Forge and that up in that area. But no, I've never worked with him directly.
Oh, no. All right. And it's another question, but I'll go back to that. When did you break out finally after Mother Nature Uncles to break out on your own?
I mean, my grandfather, his health failed. So started failing. So they closed their shop probably in 2000. I want to say probably around 2004, I think is when they closed the shop. And that's when I took my little break. And then about 10 years later, I bought a compressor. I just started practicing. I was like, you know, I sort of like still like doing this. And so I just went out on the beach one day, so that answering an ad for an airbrush artist. I was probably a crappy airbrush artist because I hadn't been doing it in 10 years, but they said, yeah, well, come on in. You know how to use an airbrush and you can write a name. You're good. So, I started working. The name of the shop was, what was the name of the shop? Oh, Beach Memories. A little mom pop operation type of situation, but they had a big old airbrush booth in the back of the shop that I worked with. People might know the guy named Wee that I worked with. I think he was Korean kid. Oh my God, was he? He was an amazing artist. Oh my God, portraits. Wow. He could take a picture and just make whatever he was painting, airbrushing on, make it look like the picture. If it was a black and white picture, it looked like a black and white picture.
Oh, wow.
It was just like, wow.
That's one thing I never got to was portraits. I can't do portraits.
Yeah, I don't do it. I've tried so many times. And I was like, I was like, I know people that if you want it done, I can get it done for you. And I know some amazing people that will do it. That and vehicles I don't do either, because that's another thing that you gotta have a special talent for.
Yeah, it's time consuming too. It's too much time consuming. I'd rather make the quick bread and butter money.
That's my thing, because I can $100 to $120, it would probably take me hours to do, and I could turn around and do one of my little cheap designs. I could do that five times and make just as much money.
Yeah, exactly.
And be done in 30 minutes.
Yep, that's my process.
That's the way I look at it.
When I first started out doing it, I was like trying to do everything, but now?
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I don't have to hustle. I'm past the point where I have to hustle. People come to me, I work in a tourist shop. They're, 7 to 8 months out of the year, I'm pretty steady busy. During the winter, you might catch me doing some off the wall stuff to make some extra cash here and there. But I don't. 8 months out of the year, I don't have to hustle. People come to me for the business.
I was gonna say about is it seasonal over there?
Just like it's seasonal. And it used to be strictly, you would have okay springs and really good summers. But the tourist here seems to be, they stretched it pretty well. We have really good springs, amazing summers. Even fall could be really good. Not great, but it's worth going out there making a few extra bucks through the fall. Winters though, winters. Once you get to the about end of November, it's just pack up shop and just hold out for a month or two.
Yeah. Do you somebody asked, do you make your own stencils, or do you go through like Chino? Everybody else go through Chino.
No, actually, we've been doing our own designs and own stencils. I do have some of Chino's stencils, but I'll probably about maybe 10 of Chino's stencils that I use. About the other 300 designs we have, we cut them out.
300.
Yeah,
I guess I gotta have a variety, huh?
Yeah. Now we have on the wall probably about 200 to 250 on the wall. We bought about another 150 back behind the wall that we tend to, like, every year we're like, okay, that design didn't sell, let's put something else up there, that sort of thing. So if somebody comes in, hey, do you have this? I'll be like, yeah, I think I do, and go through the stencils. But yeah, we cut our own stencils and everything. We use we get a big old roll of Mylar, we cut it out to size, and then we break it down with a stencil cutter. Wood burner, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, wood burner, stencil cutter. We got a stencil cutter, but it's
that's what we call them, stencil cutters.
So what do you feel is your specialty?
My specialty is definitely color, bright colors, beach scenes, blendings, that sort of thing. I'm very big into color and way colors blend together. I think that's where my specialty lies, is with the beach scenes and getting the different blends of colors and watching them play off each other and stuff like that. That's where I tend to stay. That's where I like to be.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the colors, the vibrant colors, because I did have a shop on the beach for about 8 months, and there was a big seller trying to do the beach scenes with the flip-flops and all that with beach scenes inside of it. Yeah, it worked out good, but I don't know. I have to concentrate to do a beach scene. I know y'all probably just do it.
Beach scenes. I mean, beach scenes are just my bread and butter. It's just that's all they will. Basically, a lot of people, so you can spray some color on there and put a palm tree, people are usually happy.
They don't know no better, huh?
They don't know no better. They don't know. They see a palm tree and some color. That's that's a beach scene. That's
put my name on it.
Yes, put my name on it. I'm good to go.
The end of it. Yeah. I've never been to Panama City. I've been to Orlando a couple of times, but I've never been down to Panama. So it's still a lot of shops out there on the beach?
The market was very saturated probably about 4 to 5 years ago. It was really, there was way too many artists here. Every shop had an airbrush artist. Everybody was trying to make money, and I was probably at that time, I would be lucky to pull in about $300 a day. And it was really bad. It was hard going. We had a Hurricane Michael came through. That knocked a few artists, that some artists didn't come back after that. So that actually helped us, cause it just got rid of a lot of people that would come in for the season. Mm-hmm. And pretty much what was left here are the local artists that have been here for years and years and years. And then of course COVID came in and knocked the rest of them out.
Oh yeah. That's pretty much basically when I started the podcast, was like, okay, it's nothing to do. I mean, I'm gonna start this, and then we try to get artists to tell other artists what they're doing and try to help each other out.
Yeah.
Try to get, you know, what they're doing. Yeah,
that's what sort of happened. It cleared, it got rid of every. It's not a bad thing. I mean, I don't want to say that all these artists being here is a bad thing. It sort of is though, because there was way too many of us here.
Oversaturated.
It was way oversaturated, and airbrush is a. It's definitely a novelty thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very novelty. And it's very, people still see it kind of cheesy and stuff like that. But people that come to Panama City, they've been getting them every year since they were kids. It's a tradition to them. So that's, like I say, we got rid of a lot of the artists here. It helped us, the ones that are still here, to be able to make a really good. I'm making a decent living now.
Yeah. I would think, I think when I first started in the flea market, it was five of us. And the one thing I didn't like is that the people would come to me and get a price, and they go over here and get a price. Well, he said he'll do it for this much. Do y'all have that over there? Y'all have that problem?
I think people price shop. You know, people, some people probably shop. Some people are just like, hey, we're going to get it. And I tend to stay relatively price-wise where everybody else is. An exact design, I don't know if somebody gets for a specific design, but I stay within a price range. And I think that keeps, I have never had anybody turn away from me.
I think
especially now, I mean, especially with my social media stuff has started going up, blowing up a little bit. I have people coming to me now saying, oh, I saw you here. I saw you there. I came here just specifically looking for you. And so that's definitely helped me out a lot.
So when did you start TikTok? How long ago?
I've been on TikTok. I've posted my first video on TikTok probably two years ago. But didn't do anything my first year. I just sort of I was posting some videos here and there, wasn't really doing much with it. And then last year, probably about this time last year, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna really try to push it. And I got into one of those rooms where you could, you know, I got my first 1,000 people so I could go live. Cause that was the first thing I went. I was like, man, I gotta go live. Yeah. Airbrush needs to be in front of people. And I'm so used to back in the day, somebody would come get your shirt from you. They would sit there and watch you paint their shirt, and they would be so happy when you do it. And I would literally have probably 30, 40 people behind me watching me paint the shirt.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm just sort of used to that. Now it's not that way anymore. People now will come to you. They'll order a shirt. They'll come back in 2 or 3 hours to come pick it up.
Yeah,
they don't want to wait. They're not waiting around for you to paint a shirt for anymore.
It used to be the show. The show used to be.
It was a show.
Yeah,
and that's what I sort of wanted to bring back with my lives is that whole show aspect of it. The expedition, the funness of it, and things like that. And I like to paint in front of people. That's just something I've always loved to do.
Sometimes I'm like, all right, I'll call you when you're
struggling. What I don't like to do is something that I'm either drawing. If I'm drawing like freehand on a shirt, I don't like somebody to watch me for some reason. I don't like the whole. But if it's a design that I've done, you know, if one is something off my wall, I don't have a problem at all because I've done it so many times. But I'm still conscious with, you know, my drawing. It's, you know, sitting with a piece of paper or drawing on a shirt or something like that. I'm still a little bit, you know, nervous of people watching me. It's one of those things. Sometimes you just got to – I'm not really – when I'm doing something on a shirt to airbrush, I'm not really doing details. And I'm just sort of throwing something like, well, I want to do something over here. I'm going to do something over here.
Yeah.
And I let it sort of come together. Some people don't quite understand that when
they don't see your vision,
right? It's
a vision that you already have in. Yeah, right. I'm used to drawing caricatures, so it's like little kids leaning on your shoulder while you're drawing. So it doesn't. But I guess the older I get now, I'm like, nah, I don't want to be bothered. Just I'll call you when it's ready. Are you you mind if I watch? Yeah, sure. It don't matter.
People still ask me that. Like, do you mind if we sit and watch? It's like, no, not at all, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, that's why I do my lives. And I love doing my lives. I love being on, you know, that you know, heightened expressions, that whole thing of entertaining and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I find it fun.
And you know, it's always a good feeling for somebody to buy your art. It feels good to like somebody to actually buy your art. Like I've been doing it all my life. I was a little kid and nobody wanted to buy my shit. Now I'm grown and I'm making a living off of it.
Right.
So it's a good thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. So we were talking about, do you see the people in the area as competitors or y'all all are friends or y'all socialize or stuff like that?
I don't ever see anybody as a competitor because I've always looked at this. There's plenty of money out there all of us to make some money. Yeah. And everybody's going to have, you know, all your customers are going to have, they're going to have your preferences. They're going to come to you like, man, I come to you every time. I love your stuff. So you're going to have loyal customers no matter what you do. So I've never seen that side of it. I'm not that way with other artists. If you're another artist, I would love to talk to you. I love to learn from you, what you do. Like when my partners came to work for me, I'm here to learn from you just as much as, you know, anything else. you guys, because these guys are your older guys, they're in their 70s. And I'm like, you've been doing it a long time. I want to learn some things from you, you know, just anything.
It used to be the point where, you know, everything was a secret. You couldn't share your secret.
No, yes.
With nobody.
When I was when I was growing up, when there was artists on every, I used to have to hide behind things and watch them do things and stuff like that. Because if they saw that you're another artist, they'd chase you out of there.
Yeah,
they didn't want you stealing their designs and blah blah blah. But you know,
it's not gonna be the same. I'm not gonna paint it the same way you do.
I have designs. I haven't stolen anything from anybody. But if you look at my designs, you go down the beach. You'll see the almost the same exact designs in all the shops. That's We've amazing. All worked with each other. We've all, you know, at some point have had people work in the shop that's worked somewhere else that's brought a design and put it on the wall and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, yeah, at this point, I'm just like, you know, I'm not here. I'm not competing with anybody.
You don't want to think you're competing, but sometimes if somebody bring in a design, Like Hector, I don't know if you ever seen it. They bring Hector. Can you do this like this? Like, nah.
No. He does that tattoo script stuff.
Yeah,
Hector. Yeah, no. I can't do that. And don't ask me to do graffiti because I ain't gonna. I can't do it. I can't do graffiti. It looks like crap. It looks bad. It looks bad. Don't ask me to do graffiti.
Yeah, I mean, it's a. I turn down people sometimes. I'm like, man, look, I can do it, but it ain't gonna look nothing like this. So it's harder to copy somebody else's work than it is to actually do.
Yeah. And people bring me up and say, hey, I got this design. I got it off the internet. Can you do it? I'm like, yeah, I could do it. It's not gonna look like that.
Yeah. You know? Like my friend Chris always says, artist rendition or something.
We used to have that in a shop we had. We had to put it up on the wall saying that, you know, each of these designs are individually done by artists and they may look different than what they are. You know, some people are like, well, that star is in a different spot than this star is.
And then
that tree is a little bit moved over this way. And I'm like,
missing a leaf.
I mean, yes, they're designs, but they're going to be interpreted a little differently depending on the size shirt and how the artist is feeling. And because, you know, like to tell people, don't ever go into an airbrush shop and get a shirt from a guy at 11 o'clock at night when he's ready to go home. Right? You want to get there early in the morning when he's first getting there and he's ready to go.
Yeah, that's a fact right there. So, what kind of paint do you use?
Right now, I am using mostly Aquaflow.
Aquaflow.
I have dabbled a little bit into E-Tac with my black and white. I've tried other colors with E-Tac, but they have not been great. I've had some bad deliveries with E-Tac. The only things I can tend to get working really well is their black and their whites.
I like their black.
Their black is smooth. I ain't gonna lie. Their black is very smooth.
I bought my little white. I really didn't like it.
Yeah. Their Aquaflow has had their problems this past year. I like, because I'm still using some paints left over from last year. And like the black, I have to water it down a little bit to get it to flow right. Purple's been having some problems with Aquaflow too.
Yeah, the I used to, back in the day, it used to be Aquaflow was the black, but I used the Wicked. Yeah, and I used the Wicked White. I use a lot of Wicked colors. I started out with the blacks, but now I'm I came to Vegas and I was watching Hector paint. No, it was Jamocha painting. And man, that black was like perfect. I was like, damn, I like that. And he gave me the name and I started buying some. I buy my black from Vegas.
What kind was it?
It's an E-Tac.
E-Tac? Okay. E-Tac's, I love their E-Tac black.
I haven't used Aquaflow in a long time. I don't know where to buy it at here. Y'all still have a lot of shops locally up there?
No, we get actually directly from Aquaflow out of Atlanta.
I thought, was it the airbrush store in Florida? Was the Airbrush store in Florida?
There's an Airbrush. There's an Airbrush store. Yeah, I think so. In Orlando, or in that area. Florida, somewhere down in that area.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah, we get direct. We just order directly from. Like I said, my partner's one. We basically what we do is my partner orders all of our paints and we sort of divvy it up. So we're just, you know, just goes through. You go through paint a little bit quicker that way, and it keeps it from sitting too long.
Have you ever tried Jacquard? You've heard of it?
No, I have not. I have tried, like I said, Wicked. I used to be big in Wicked because Wicked you could get just about anywhere.
Yeah, Crit-Tech's been doing horrible too, though. I've been buying a bunch of paints and it's like big clunks in there, and you can't really.
Same thing with Aquaflow. Aquaflow's been the same way, and it's been really ever since COVID. And I think what it is they're just not able to get, either they're not able to get the materials that they used to be able to use, or they've gone cheap on the materials. One of the two. I can't get them to answer the question. You ask a salesperson, no, that's the same stuff we've always used. No, it's not. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I've been doing this for a long time and using your paints for a really long time. This is not the same stuff that you've always used.
Yeah. So. Well, the Jacquard is pretty good. It's a little wet. You know, like I don't know. I paint AEPSI. What you paint it?
I paint. I typically spray with shirts at about the 80, right at 90.
God, I thought 80 was high, man.
Yeah, and I drop it down to about 80. I drop it down to 80 or so for car tags.
Yeah, that was somebody asked about car tags. That was coming up. Jacquard is pretty good. You can't use. I don't think you can use it on car tags because when you clear it, it doesn't clear well, no matter what kind of clear. And baseball helmets, I had a problem with it. But other old shirts, I haven't had no problems with it. It's pretty good. It's just wet. It just sprays wet.
Okay. Yeah, I like to have multi-surfaces because, like I said, I deal with car tags daily and I deal with – and I don't like to have multiple bottles for colors. I like to keep things streamlined. So if I black, it's one black that I use or one red.
How many guns you run?
I typically like to run about four guns, but right now I'm down to two.
Black and a white or black and a color.
Black and a color, that's right. I've got about four guns I need to send off to West Coast so I can get them.
You have yours rebuilt. You don't work on.
I get them rebuilt.
Man, I got like 80 guns just in a box. I'm like, I sent them over there. I keep thinking
that's not bad. As they say, what, like $30 plus the parts? That's not too bad.
No. If you're gonna get basically a new gun bag,
yeah.
Somebody asked, are you tech savvy when it comes to social media? So was it hard for you to learn TikTok or for you to?
The hard part with TikTok is trying to get it down to my business, I guess, because you know you can watch TikTok and it's like you got to do with the trends and things like that, but then translating it to your business to be able to get the views. That's the problem, right? Especially with TikTok right now, they're not pushing the shorter content anymore. They're pushing longer form. So the two-minute, three-minute videos is what's getting pushed out. And it's hard to translate that into, you know, somebody want to sit and watch a TikTok video of somebody airbrushing for 2 to 3 minutes. That's the hard part. That's the back and forth.
Last 2 minutes. Right. I think that's why a lot of, I know I watch, I can't think of his name right now. He painted my name the other night. He does lives and he paint names all night.
Crave?
Yeah.
Victor?
Yeah, Victor.
Yeah. I've been really good friends with Victor.
He was on the podcast. He was on the Verbal podcast. I think, I don't know what McCullough said, I should go back and do everybody over since we started doing video now. But this video is, I'm still, you see how I'm fidgeting and I'm moving, I'm scratching. I can't stay still when I'm doing this shit. All right, if you could tell a younger you to invest in something in your career, what would it be? But that stops.
I would tell myself invest into a very good laser cutter. Because right now, like, because I've thought about this. I'm like, you know, I could give me a laser cutter and be able to cut all my stencils out and stuff. But then I was like, then I would have to come. Then I would have to get all my designs, 300 plus of them, digitally set to be able to cut them out.
Yeah.
And it's still to the point where it might just be as fast for me to just recut it with a stencil burner. Yeah. But, you know, yeah. I wish I would have invested it a long time ago. That way it could sort of built it with itself.
Yeah, it's a lot of other things you can do with those things, too. Like, yes. I don't know what they call them, big blue ones that they got.
Yeah.
I see on TikTok.
Now, and I want a good, like I said, I want a good one where I could make some really good money with.
Yeah. Not the little.
I can do all kinds of stuff, the wood cutting and all that stuff.
But I think those are like, what, 10? They be buying them like this here, and then 10.
Yeah. I think the one I've been looking at is like six, seven grand or something like that.
Yeah. They must be financing them, or what's that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it is. But who would you like to work with in your past or your future? I know, yeah. I can't think of nobody either.
Yeah, there's actually, you know, I would really like to work with the guys over at Big Airbrush, you know, Pat and them. I not necessarily like the way, you know, the money side of their side of business, but the people themselves, the artists that work for them, they look like I could learn a lot of stuff from them.
Yeah. Steve. I don't know if you know Steve, but he's in Orlando. When I go over there, I watch him a lot.
He's what's he look like?
Bald dude.
Yeah. I know Shama. Yeah. That's one of the, yeah. I've seen him do so. I've seen a lot of his stuff. Cause he used to be up here in Panama City a few years ago.
Yeah. So, what do you think the secret in you staying in business so long? Is it location, or you think it's like just skill wise? People, you have like a clientele base, or that come repeat customers, or y'all just, since y'all in a tourist attraction, you just people come and go.
I get the same. Well, since I've been in the same location for 10 years, I do get a lot of repeat customers. But I think the way things are set up now at the beach, before is a lot of walking traffic. Everybody walked everywhere. Now it seems like it's done in sort of like neighborhoods. Like you have a group of hotels, that's your business right there. There's a little three or four hotels that are right in your area right there.
Yeah.
That's sort of the way it works now. Longevity, I just think it's just be persistent. Yeah. Honestly, it's just because the area itself is known for airbrush artists. I don't think myself really anything real special in the area because there's so many other artists in the area. But yeah, I think it's probably it's just my persistence being out here every weekend.
Yeah,
because I don't think if I didn't come out here, if I wasn't out there every weekend, it would go on just like anything else.
Yeah. The I was trying to sell the idea, because when I had my store on the beach, I was like, I'm trying to sell the idea of how Florida is, how the beach is airbrushed everywhere. It's just the people on Galveston was like, they're just so set in their ways that they don't want to try nothing new.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how many times I tried to tell them, like, this is what everybody on the beach is doing. You know, just let me set up and I can show you what it can do. But
yeah,
you know. Nope, and then
I have a friend that's in Galveston, but she does her own little booth.
Oh, I think I saw her on Instagram before. So she paints, she airbrushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know
you. Yeah, the Galveston Airbrush, I think is what she calls it.
Galveston Airbrush, yeah. And my shop was right in front of Walmart, but I couldn't get no people, no matter what I did. When I had my store here in Houston, so I opened up a store in Galveston. Couldn't get no. Everybody kept coming to my other store. I'm like, I opened up down here, and that's one of the lessons I learned of using my own money, because I lost like $30,000 on that store.
Wow.
Yeah. So, have you ever airbrushed for any celebrities?
No.
No,
me neither. I don't think I have. I've tried. I've tried to get some attention for people on TikTok, but it hasn't helped yet.
Yeah, I'd be tagging them. I'd tag them and you expect them to see it.
Yeah, I've tried, but they, no.
Yeah. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't know if it'll get any more notoriety or he ain't gonna pay you for it. So I don't know. So another question somebody asked was, what's the most expensive item you ever airbrushed? I know some of these questions are like, but yeah.
Expensive item I ever I painted an RC car before. I'm sure that's definitely more expensive than a shirt.
you like doing it because don't you paint the inside out, right?
No, I painted it's just the outside. I just painted the outside and we clear coated it. It was the guy brought it in. He's like, can you paint? I was like, I don't know. I'll try and see what I can do.
Yeah.
And he gave me, he wanted like the 70s van, you know, the brown, the orange, the yellows type of striped thing. Oh, wow. I was like, yeah, we could do that. So that's probably the most expensive thing, honestly, that I've ever painted.
Yeah, I know I saw somebody do it before, and it was you have to paint it from the inside. They were saying you got to paint it backwards, inside from the inside out.
Inside out, yeah.
That's too much thought process. Did you ever do any traveling, airbrushing?
I've never had to do that. My uncle, I remember them telling me they used to go do fairs over in Louisiana and Texas. Mm-hmm. They used to do the fair circuit in the off season. My uncle used to tell me about it. They used to sit out there, and he said they would sit out there and paint for 15-16 hours straight, nonstop, people circling their booth. But before I got married and had kids, that would be something I would have enjoyed doing, but I never did.
Do you do any outside events at all, or are you just strictly shop?
No, just at my shop.
Yeah, have you ever done any outside events?
Nope, never have.
Baseball tournaments?
My wife's asked me, hey, won't we go do an event here and there? I was like, why do I want to do that when I can just stay in my booth and I have air conditioning?
As I got older,
I don't know.
As I got older, I'm like, no, I don't want to go out
there. You know, and like I said, the only time I have the weekends free where I'm not making money out there is November. It's like end of November, December, and January. And what's going on in those months anyways? So.
Yeah. Well, they got Christmas stockings and stuff like that. But
this past year, especially with my social media, I was like, you know, I'm going to push this. Maybe I can just push it a little bit through. Give me a Christmas season. Let me see what happens. And you know what? I didn't make any money. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't. And I see people doing the stockings. I see people doing it, but I'm not selling it. So I don't know.
It's always a gamble. You know, it's just,
yeah,
you can't give up. You got to do it again until people actually notice it. But it's costing you money by buying all the stuff. Yeah. But it's a gamble.
Yeah. Gamble. I think last year I tried to do Halloween bags for trick or treating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I did a few of those for friends and family, but that's about it.
Yeah. Normally Halloween we do, we used to do, but since COVID messed all that stuff up, we do body painting and actually do face painting in my shop. But since COVID, it's starting to come back around now that people start to do body painting and stuff like that. But I got all that expensive stuff, but I don't think I'll use it again.
Right. I tried to get into body painting a few years ago, probably about nine years ago or so. But those paints are expensive.
Man.
it's an expensive little venture. Especially when you start really talking to people, they want like full body stuff. And then you start talking prices to them. They're like, well, I don't know if I really want to do that.
And it kind of paint costs money.
Yeah.
And all that time of sitting up there painting them.
Yep.
So, they said, what do you do for what do you do when you're off of November and December?
I just stay at home. I play a lot of video games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I do. Like me and my daughters sit around and play some video games on the weekends.
PlayStation, Xbox.
I have a PC.
PC? Oh,
I have a PC. She has, and if it's a game she has a Switch. We usually the games we can cross platform, but if not, we have an old Xbox that she uses.
My son is a big PlayStation. I bought a PlayStation and he took it over, and I never got back on there again.
Yeah.
Well, I buy the games, I play a day, and then that's it. I'm done.
And I've been trying to do. I was thinking about doing some gaming content on TikTok.
It's a lot of people out there do that.
I thought it would be kind of fun, especially in my off time or something like that.
You can stream that stuff too, can't you?
Yeah. Because I went ahead, I got access to the studio finally. So I can actually stream it from my computer.
Oh, cool. No, I ain't got that many followers. I got 225 people right now.
I'm trying to hit my 30K.
Man, see what I'm saying? I'm trying to be like y'all with all these people.
And I'm talking to Victor. Victor's like, man, I'm almost hitting 100,000. I'm like, man, shut up.
He's on there every night painting.
Yeah, he's on there. Oh, dude, he hustles. He hustles. So I was like, man, you need to get yourself in a shop, man. That's like, you just need to get yourself in a shop. And he's like, I know he still says, but I still got to practice, man. You got all the skills that you need.
You got everything you need.
Yeah, everything you need. You don't have to worry about that stuff, man. You have, I'm envious of some of your, especially your writing. His writing's like, man, it's like, wow.
Yeah. He's, if he can avoid the overhead and stay in his house and paint and just ship out, do you do any online orders or anything like that?
I do online orders. I don't do a lot. I wish I could do a lot more because I would love to be able to stay home and not even have to go out to the beach. Just do my lives here at the house and ship everything. But
I think Brian Neely has turned his thing. You know Brian Neely?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Southern Dot?
Yep.
Something. Yeah. I think he got a big thing of start doing the shipping and doing online orders and stuff like that, and they're paying them online. And because Victor's selling napkins,
I'm like, dude, I give me some napkins and start selling me some napkins, man. You get cool, like $10 a pop, man. Yeah,
roll of paper towels ain't nothing but about 89 cents.
Exactly.
And you make my $400 on that one roll. Name all that.
But yeah, I mean, I would like to do a lot more online orders, but I don't know if it's just, I don't know. I get people asking all the time, especially during the lives. They'll even message me to the point. I was like, hey, you know, send me a message. We'll talk about it. We'll get some online orders. Go through the whole thing of, you know, picking out their design and everything. I'll send them an invoice, and that's the end of it right there.
Yeah,
I just felt like I wasted, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of my time.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part. It's like some people interested, but then once you tell them the price, okay, the shirt costs this.
Yeah,
my time is this and this. Oh no, I thought it was like $5 or $6.
Well, I think the hard part, especially because I think I'm worth so much. I'm already worth so much money. My time is worth so much already. It's already in my head. And the problem is competing against some people online because I have overhead that I have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I work in a shop. I already have somebody in my pocket with the shirt prices. I have somebody in my pocket on my rent of everything. And so my prices have to be at a certain point for me to, you know, make money off of it.
Yeah.
And then it's hard for me to compete with some of these Etsy stores and stuff like that. It's like,
who's selling the dirt cheap? But you know what? Yeah, a lot of these Etsy people be cheating people. They'll show you this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And then they're like, okay. So they'll send a file to the people, not the image. They'll send an image of a file of the image, not the actual transfer of it.
Right.
And they're like, what am I supposed to do with this? So they're coming to my shop a lot of times and I have to do it for them.
Right. Yeah, I've heard about the Etsy stores and stuff like that. The way they'd be doing people and stuff like that. They'll be stealing people's designs and saying it's theirs and it's not theirs, and you get it and it's like not even close to what it
is. Yeah, something totally different.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But a lot of people making a lot of money on that too, though.
Yeah, and then, like I said, price wise, I'm like, I can't even. How are you doing the prices like this and free shipping too? I don't understand.
Yeah, how you paying for free shipping? I was doing a book, and I was gonna give it away, but then the girl was like, "Okay, it's $15 to make per book." I'm like, "Ooh, I can't just, and if I make 80 books, I can't just give away 80 books." And that's like,
right?
Figure out a way to. So I think since I'm doing a new this way and this way cost, I'll just take the money from the sales from the book and try to do it that way, or make ads. Like, I don't know if y'all see that that Pat's thing is scrolling by here that he's hiring.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's a new way. It's gonna do that for ads. If you want to pay for an ad, which will pay for the whole month, which is cheap. You know, this site is cost $35, so it's like just pay for the ad for the whole month to advertise.
Well, as like I said, I'm trying to build my followers up so I can get some sponsorships. If I start getting some sponsorships, I can do a whole lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
But until you get to that point where, you know, you're actually making some money off the social media. Because I was making decent money from Facebook. TikTok,
not yet.
Yeah. TikTok pays you like literally like 2 cents per thousand view.
Oh, that's
great. It's ridiculous. But Facebook was paying like $3 per thousand views. And I was getting, during the winter months, I was getting anywhere from about 2 to 3, 4, 5 million views in a month.
Damn.
So I was making some decent, okay money. They cap you. You can only make a certain amount. It's only a certain dollar amount. After that, it's there's nothing except for ad revenue. Mm. But it was probably about another $1,200 plus another $200 or $300 in ad revenue.
Yeah.
And that was just from posting videos.
That's crazy.
But they don't do that anymore. They stopped paying their creators now.
That's crazy. I think somebody was saying that they were going to take their stuff off of there, and take their stuff off of Instagram, and put it on TikTok or another platform that's paying people. But you just said TikTok ain't really paying.
TikTok's not paying. They're paying anything anyways. You could have 1,000. You could have 1 million views on TikTok, and they'll end up paying you like $20. It's ridiculous. TikTok. The only way you're gonna make money off TikTok is once you get to a certain like followers, and you are able to translate that into sponsorships and sponsored videos. That's where you make the money off TikTok, is that having enough followers that sponsors come to you and say, "Hey, look, do us a video."
Like that, what's that? It's a couple of people. What's that? The girl who do all the dancing? Well, yeah. Made $1 million. Tell a girl, like, how the fuck y'all doing all of that?
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can make money off TikTok. It's just you have to, you're not going to make it off of views. Hmm. And you're not going to make it off of ad revenue. YouTube is where you make for views.
Yeah. And that's when I first started, I had a site on YouTube, and I used to always do videos all the time. So I got it monetized, but then I just stopped making videos. Like, I'm too busy at the shop to make videos, so let it go.
I'm with you on that. Like I said, I was talking to my wife all the time. I was like, man, I really wish I could make some videos off TikTok. I mean, I have some good ideas for videos for TikTok. And I don't need 1 million subscribers.
Yeah.
You know, if you have about 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, you can make an okay living off of YouTube.
Man. Yeah. Well, see,
just from views and ad revenue.
This is attached to YouTube right now. Yeah. I had to open up a new site for the podcast so I can do the podcast here and Facebook.
Yeah.
But it's something different. So anything else you want to bring up, anything that you got going on?
No, I think we discussed everything I have going on. Like I said, my social media stuff, I'm trying to build up and trying to make that its own little thing. And my TikTok lives, I'm pushing my TikTok lives. I've been off. I haven't done any lives in a couple weeks. I wasn't feeling too hot a couple weeks ago. Just didn't feel like being on.
Yeah.
And then last week it was Thunder Beach for us, and I didn't have any content. Bikers don't like to buy airbrush t-shirts.
What's Thunder? Oh, no, they don't. I was at we have a big bike rally in Galveston, and they buy food and beer. That's it. And bikers.
I think Sunday, I had a few of them stop in on Sunday right before I was closing. They're like, hey, we need some shirts for our grandkids. So I saw a few shirts at the end of it, but it wasn't my typical weekend at all. And I was just like, I just don't have content.
I thought the same thing too. I thought it was gonna make a killing, but nope.
Yeah, no. Nope. Never have to make any money on a bike week.
Nah. So all right, man. I appreciate your time and thanks for being my first person on live.
I appreciate it too. It's been fun.
Yeah, that's good. Appreciate it. All right. So like I said, this is all live, and I'll send you all the stuff And then I'll probably add it to my Anchor too as well. So I don't know if you ever listen. You ever listen to any of the other podcasts?
Yeah, yeah. I've listened to them. Yeah.
Cool. I was going to say, I'll send you a link to listen to them.
Sounds good.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, man. You have a great one.
You too. All right. Started. Let me see. Okay. All right. So tonight we're with Spencer Dawson of AXPCB in Panama City. And where are you from?
I'm from Panama City Beach, Florida.
Yeah. All right. And then any websites or social media you want to promote?
Social media, I have Facebook, AXPCB. TikTok, AXPCB _airbrush. I think we're also on YouTube. YouTube is AXPCB also, I believe.
Yes. Okay. All right, you got to bear with me a little bit. The first time I'm going live, and I move too much.
That's all right.
How long have you been airbrushing?
They're about 35 years or so, 35 or 36 years. But I think there's a 10 to 12 year gap in there that I didn't paint, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably about 20 to 25, I think, is what I think of what I've come up with.
25 years. That's still a pretty good time, though. That's still a good amount of time.
Yeah.
So how did you find out about airbrushing?
I grew up in the business. I said, my grandfather owned a shop here on the beach. He opened his first airbrush shop in '76, I believe it was. My uncle was the airbrush artist. Was one of the first out here on the beach that learned it. And just sort of grew up, you know, taking orders, stretching shirts, doing the whole thing, you know, just, you know, doing my work in the family business sort of thing. And it's from that step, took it from my uncle to, from the airbrushing, learned how to airbrush from him. And, that's where I'm at now, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. So you asked the next question, but, so what kind of airbrush did you learn on?
I learned on the Pache VL3s.
Okay, and you were talking about how you think they lost their they're not as good as they
used. The VL3s, so they've changed the way they're designed a little bit, and they're just a little bit, I think there's a little clunky to me a little bit, I guess, compared to where they used to be.
I used to use a Badger Vega 2000, and I had an old one, but it was perfect, and then I bought some of the new Badgers Vegas. And it just felt like when you push too hard, it would bend the trigger, and it was like, started out on the Vegas.
Yeah, and I only think you could take is I like to be able to take my tip apart so I can see the needle, and the Pache's, you can't do that anymore. It's all covered to protect the needle now, and I don't like that.
I know Jaime used to have a you know Jaime Rodriguez, you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so he used to have he would take the front part of the airbrush and he would grind it down to where you'd be able to pick at your needle. I don't know if it was on what gun it was on. Maybe it was on Badgers.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah, I like to be able to see my needle and see what's on the tips and stuff like that. Be able to pick them.
You're actually the first person I've ever heard. Never heard of Jaime Rodriguez. Everybody always Jaime Rodriguez. Yeah. So did you start in the shop or were y'all like? Oh, you said you was in the shop on the beach.
Yeah, he owned a shop. It was an airbrush shop. It was blank t-shirts. But basically what we did was we would do the buy the t-shirt, airbrush was free. So yeah, it was basically they would stay packed.
But they stayed packed.
And they would have about 30 designs they would do. Basically, it was just basic beach scenes with a name or a name design or something. It wasn't anything to elaborate, but that was what people knew my family as, was the airbrush free family.
Airbrush free family. But I guess the t-shirt would probably make up for the price of.
They would sell the t-shirts for about $9-$10. And that was in the 70s and 80s too, so.
Oh yeah, that's when it was first starting out, huh? When it was big back then on the beaches. Have you ever worked for anybody else? Or you just only work for your family?
Basically everything goes down. Now I just rent space out from inside shops. I don't really work for somebody. I have partners that I work with, because basically I only work weekends. I'm a weekends guy. I have a regular job that I work Monday through Friday. I had a hard time making airbrush full-time work where I could actually afford to just airbrush and afford the family stuff, the insurance, the stuff like that. So basically I took an office job, do an office job, and I do this Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
Man, that sounds like a good schedule.
It is. Yeah. Especially because I've been in this, like the shop that I'm in now, I've been in that shop, particular shop, for 10 years. So anybody that comes in now, they have to work around what my schedule is.
Yeah.
And I happen to have good partners right now that they don't want to work weekends anymore. They're over that whole, they like making a little bit extra money here and there. So, and his wife is, I believe, is a nurse, and she's off on the weekends. So he likes to be off on the weekends. So, and he's to the point where he's almost about to retire. So it works out really well for me and my partners right now. Mm-hmm. And I like working the weekends because that's where the most of the money is anyways.
Yeah. Fridays, Saturdays. I don't work Sundays. I started taking Sundays off. I don't know if you could see the question, but somebody, one of the Facebook users asked, have you worked with Pat?
Pat Gaines?
Yeah,
Pat. I've never worked with Pat directly, no. I know who Pat is. I've talked to him pretty regularly about different things. He's asked me a few times to come work for him in Orlando and up in Pigeon Forge and that up in that area. But no, I've never worked with him directly.
Oh, no. All right. And there's another question, but I'll go back to that. When did you break out, finally, after underneath your uncles to break out on your own?
I mean, my grandfather, his health failed, so started failing. So they closed their shop probably in 2000. I want to say probably around 2004. Around 2004, I think, is when they closed the shop. And that's when I took my little break. And then about 10 years later, I bought a gun, a compressor. I just started practicing. I was like, you know, I sort of like still like doing this. And so I just went out on the beach one day, answering an ad for an airbrush artist. I was probably a crappy airbrush artist because I hadn't been doing it in 10 years, but they said, yeah, well, come on in. You know how to use an airbrush and you can write a name. You're good. So, I started working. The name of the shop was, what was the name of the shop? Oh, Beach Memories. A little mom pop operation type of situation, but they had a big old airbrush booth in the back of the shop that I worked with. People might know the guy named Wee that I worked with. I think he was Korean kid. Oh my God, was he? He was an amazing artist. Oh my God, portraits. Wow. He could take a picture and just make whatever he was painting, airbrushing on, make it look like the picture. If it was a black and white picture, it looked like a black and white picture.
Oh, wow.
It was just like, wow.
That's one thing I never got to was portraits. I can't do portraits.
Yeah, I don't do it. I've tried so many times. And I was like, I was like, I know people that if you want it done, I can get it done for you. And I know some amazing people that will do it. That and vehicles I don't do either, because that's another thing that you gotta have a special talent for.
Yeah, it's time consuming too. It's too much time consuming. I'd rather make the quick bread and butter money.
That's my thing, because I can $100 to $120, it would probably take me hours to do, and I could turn around and do one of my little cheap designs. I could do that five times and make just as much money.
Yeah, exactly.
And be done in 30 minutes.
Yep, that's my process.
That's the way I look at it.
When I first started out doing it, I was like trying to do everything, but now?
Yeah. I tell people all the time, I don't have to hustle. I'm past the point where I have to hustle. People come to me, I work in a tourist shop. They're, 7 to 8 months out of the year, I'm pretty steady busy. During the winter, you might catch me doing some off the wall stuff to make some extra cash here and there. But I don't. 8 months out of the year, I don't have to hustle. People come to me for the business.
I was gonna say about is it seasonal over there?
Just like it's seasonal. And it used to be strictly, you would have okay springs and really good summers. But the tourist interest here seems to be they stretched it pretty well. We have really good springs, amazing summers. Even fall could be really good. Not great, but it's worth going out there making a few extra bucks through spring, through the fall. Winters, once you get to the about end of November, it's just pack up shop and just hold out for a month or two.
Yeah. Do you, somebody asked, do you make your own stencils or do you, go through like Chino, everybody else go through Chino?
No, actually we've been doing our own designs and own stencils. I do have some of Chino's stencils, but I'll probably about maybe 10 of Chino stencils that I use. About the other 300 designs we have, we cut them out.
300. I gotta have a variety, huh?
Yeah. Now we have on the wall probably about 200 to 250 on the wall. We bought about another 150 back behind the wall that we tend to like every year we're like, okay, that design didn't sell. Let's put something else up there, that sort of thing. So if somebody comes in, hey, do you have this? I'll be like, I think I do. And go through the stencils. But yeah, we cut our own stencils and everything. We use we get a big old roll of Mylar. We cut it out to size and then we break it down with a stencil cutter. Wood burner, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, wood burner, stencil cutter. We got a stencil cutter, but
that's what we call them, stencil cutters.
Yeah. So what do you feel is your specialty?
My specialty is definitely color. Bright colors, beach scenes, blendings, that sort of thing. I'm very big into color and the way colors blend together. I think that's where my specialty lies, is with the beach scenes and getting the different blends of colors and watching them play off each other and stuff like that. That's where I tend to stay. That's where I like to be.
I don't know. I like the colors, the vibrant colors, because I did have a shop on a beach for about 8 months, and there was a big seller trying to do the beach scenes with the flip flops and all that. Inside of it. Yeah, it was. It worked out good, but I can't. I don't know. I have to concentrate to do a beach scene. I know y'all probably just do it.
Yeah, beach scenes. I mean, beach scenes are just my bread and butter. It's just that's all. They will. Basically, a lot of people, so you can spray some color on there and put a palm tree, people are usually happy.
They don't know no better, huh?
They don't know no better. They don't know. They see a palm tree and some color. That's a beach thing. That's
put my name on it.
Yes, put my name on it. I'm good to go.
The end of it. Yeah. I've never been to Panama City. I've been to Orlando a couple of times, but I've never been down to Panama. So it's still a lot of shops out there on the beach?
Yeah. Well, the market was very saturated probably about 4 to 5 years ago. There was way too many artists here. Every shop had an airbrush artist. Everybody was trying to make money. And I was probably at that time, I would be lucky to pull in about $300 a day. And it was really bad. It was hard going. We had a Hurricane Michael came through. That knocked a few artists that some artists didn't come back after that. So that actually helped us, cause it just got rid of a lot of people that would come in for the season. Mm-hmm. And season pretty much what was left here are the local artists that have been here for years and years and years. And then of course COVID came in and knocked the rest of them out.
Oh yeah. That's pretty much basically when I started the podcast, was like, okay, it's nothing to do. I mean, I'm going to start this and then we'll try to get artists to tell other artists what they're doing and try to help each other out.
Yeah.
Try to get, what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what sort of happened. It got rid of every... It's not a bad thing. I mean, I don't want to say that all these artists being here is a bad thing. It sort of is, though, because there was way too many of us here.
Oversaturated.
It was way oversaturated. And airbrush is a... It's definitely a novelty thing. Mm-hmm. Very novelty. And it's very, people still see it kind of cheesy and stuff like that. But people that come to Panama City, they've been getting them every year since they were kids. It's a tradition to them. So that's, like I said, we got rid of a lot of the artists here. It helped us, the ones that are still here, to be able to make a really good. I'm making a decent living now.
Yeah, I would think. I think when I first started in the flea market, it was five of us, and the one thing I didn't like is that the people would come to me and get a price, and they go over here and get a price. Well, he said he'll do it for this much. Do y'all have that over there? Y'all have
the problem. I think people price shop. You know, some people price shop. Some people are just like, hey, we're going to get it. And I tend to stay relatively price-wise where everybody else is. An exact design, I don't know if somebody gets for a specific design, but I stay within a price range. And I think I have never had anybody turn away from me.
Yeah. I think
especially now, I mean, especially with my social media stuff, it started blowing up a little bit. I have people coming to me now saying, oh, I saw you here. I saw you there. I came here just specifically looking for you. And so that's definitely helped me out a lot.
So when did you start TikTok? How long ago?
I've been on TikTok. I've posted my first video on TikTok probably two years ago, but didn't do anything my first year. I just sort of I was posting some videos here and there, wasn't really doing much with it. And then last year, probably about this time last year, I was like, you know what, I'm going to really try to push it. And I got into one of those rooms where you could, you know, I got my first 1,000 people so I could go live. Because that was the first thing I was like, man, I got to go live. Yeah. Airbrush needs to be in front of people. And I'm so used to back in the day, somebody would come get your shirt from you. They would sit there and watch you paint their shirt. And they'd be so happy when you do it. And I would literally have probably 30, 40 people behind me watching me paint the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm just sort of used to that. Now, it's not that way anymore. People now will come to you, they'll order a shirt, they'll come back in 2 or 3 hours to come pick it up.
Yeah.
They don't want to wait. They're not waiting around for you to paint a shirt anymore.
It used to be the show. The show used to be.
It was a show.
Yeah.
And that's what I sort of wanted to bring back with my lives is that whole show aspect of it, the expedition, the funness of it and things like that. And I like to paint in front of people. That's just something I've always loved to do.
Sometimes I'm like, all right, I'll call you when you're
struggling. What I don't like to do is something that I'm either drawing. If I'm drawing like freehand on a shirt, I don't like somebody to watch me for some reason. I don't like the whole, but if it's a design that I've done, you know, if one is something off my wall, I don't have a problem at all. Cause I've done it so many times, but I'm still conscious with, you know, my drawing. It's, you know, sitting with a piece of paper or drawing on a shirt or something like that. I'm still a little bit, you know, nervous of people watching me. Cause it's one of those things. Sometimes you just gotta, I'm not really, when I'm doing something on a shirt to airbrush, I'm not really doing details, and I'm just sort of throwing something like, well, I want to do something over here, and I'm gonna do something over here,
yeah.
And I let it sort of come together. Some people don't quite understand that
they don't see your vision,
right? It's
your vision that you already have in it. Yeah, right. I'm used to drawing caricatures, so it's like little kids leaning on your shoulder while you're drawing. So it doesn't, but I guess the older I get now, I'm like, nah, I'm gonna be bothered, just I'll call you when it's ready. Are you you mind if I watch? Yeah, sure. It don't matter.
Yeah. People still ask me that. They're like, do you mind if we sit and watch? It's like, no, not at all, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, that's why I do my lives. And I love doing my lives. I love being on. You know, that you know, heightened expressions, that whole thing of entertaining and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I find it fun.
It's a, and you know, it's always a good feeling for somebody to buy your art. You know,
yes.
It feels good to like somebody to actually buy your art. Like I've been doing it all my life. I was a little kid and nobody wanted to buy my shit. Now I'm grown and I'm making a living off of it.
Right.
So it's a good thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so we were talking about, do you see the people in the area as competitors, or y'all all are friends, or y'all socialize or stuff like that?
I don't ever see anybody as a competitor. Because I've always looked at this. There's plenty of money out there for all of us to make some money.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to have, you know, all your customers are going to have they're going to have your preference. They're going to come to you like, man, I come to you every time. I love your stuff. I love. So you're going to have loyal customers no matter what you do. So I've never seen that side of it. I'm not that way with other artists. If you're another artist, I would love to talk to you. I love to learn from you what you do. Like when my partners came to work for me, I was like, I'm here to learn from you just as much as anything else. You guys, because these guys are your older guys, they're in their 70s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm like, you've been doing it a long time. I want to learn some things from you, just anything.
It used to be the point where, everything was a secret. You can't share your secret.
No, yes.
With nobody.
When I was growing up, when there was artists on every, I used to have to hide behind things and watch them do things and stuff like that. Because if they saw that you're another artist, they'd chase you out of there.
Yeah,
they didn't want you stealing their designs and blah blah blah. But
I'm not gonna paint it the same way you're gonna
paint. I have designs. I haven't stolen anything from anybody. But if you look at my designs, you go down the beach, you'll see the almost the same exact designs in all the shops. That's We've amazing. All worked with each other. We've all at some point have had people work in the shop that's worked somewhere else that's brought a design and put it on the wall and blah 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 blah. Yeah. So yeah, at this point, I'm just like, I'm not here. I'm not competing with anybody.
You don't want to think you're competing, but sometimes it's well, if somebody bring in a design, like Hector, I don't know if you ever seen it. They bring Hector, can you do this like this? Like, nah.
No. Where he does that, he does that tattoo script stuff.
Yeah.
Hector, yeah, no. I can't do that. And don't ask me to do graffiti. Cause I can't do it. I can't do graffiti. It looks bad. It looks bad. Don't ask me to do graffiti.
Yeah, I mean, it's a. I turn down people sometimes. I'm like, man, look, I can do it, but it ain't gonna look nothing like this. So it's harder to copy somebody else's work than it is to actually do.
Yeah. And people bring me up something. Hey, I got this design. I got it off the internet. Can you do it? I'm like, yeah, I could do it. It's not gonna look like that.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like my friend Chris always says, artist rendition or something.
We used to have that in a shop we had. We had to put it up on the wall saying that each of these designs are individually done by artists and they may look different than what they are. Some people are like, well, that star is in a different spot than this star is. That tree is a little bit moved over this way, and I'm like,
you're missing a leaf.
I mean, yes, they're designs, but they're going to be interpreted a little differently depending on the size shirt and how the artist is feeling. And because, I just tell people, don't ever go into an airbrush shop and get a shirt from a guy at 11 o'clock at night when he's ready to go home.
Right?
You want to get there early in the morning when he's first getting there and he's ready to go.
Yeah, that's a fact right there. So what kind of paint do you use?
Right now I am using mostly Aquaflow. I have dabbled a little bit into E-Tac with my black and white. I've tried other colors with E-Tac, but they have not been great. I've had some bad deliveries with E-Tac. The only things I can tend to get working really well is their black and their whites.
I like their black.
Their black is smooth. I ain't gonna lie. Their black is very smooth.
I bought my little white. I really didn't like it.
Yeah. Their Aquaflow has had their problems this past year. I like, because I'm still using some paints left over from last year. And like the black, I have to water it down a little bit to get it to flow right. And what I think about the purple's been having some problems with Aquaflow too.
Yeah. Back in the day, it used to be Aquaflow was the black, but I used the Wicked. Yeah. And I used the Wicked White. I use a lot of Wicked colors. I started out with the blacks, but now I'm I came to Vegas and I was watching Hector paint. No, it was Jamocha painting, and man, that black was like perfect. I was like, damn, I like that. And he gave me the name, and I started buying some. I buy my black from Big.
What kind was it?
It's an E-Tech.
E-Tech? Okay. E-Tech's. I love their E-Tech black.
I haven't used Aquaflow in a long time. I don't know where to buy it at here. Y'all still have a lot of shops locally up there?
No, we get actually directly from Aquaflow out of Atlanta.
I thought, was it the Airbrush store in Florida? Was the Airbrush store in Florida?
There's an Airbrush store, yeah. I think so in Orlando or in that area. Florida, somewhere down in that area. We get direct. We just order directly from, like I said, my partners want it. We basically, what we do is my partner orders all of our paints and we sort of divvy it up. So we're just, you go through paint a little bit quicker that way, and it keeps it from sitting too long.
Have you ever tried Jacquard? You've heard of it?
No, I have not. I have tried, like I said, Wicked. I used to be big in Wicked because Wicked you could get just about anywhere.
Yeah. Crit-Tech's been doing horrible too, though. I've been buying a bunch of paints and it's like big clunks in there and you can't really.
Same thing with Aquaflow. Aquaflow's been the same way. And it's been really ever since COVID. And I think what it is they're just not able to get, either they're not able to get the materials that they used to be able to use, or they've gone cheap on the materials. One of the two. I can't get them to answer the question. You ask a salesperson, no, that's the same stuff we've always used. No, it's not. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I've been doing this for a long time and using your paints for a really long time. This is not the same stuff that you've always used.
Yeah. So. Well, the Jacquard is pretty good. It's a little wet. You know, like, I don't know, I paint an APSI. What you paint it?
I typically spray with shirts at about the 80, right at 90.
God, I thought 80 was high, man.
Yeah, and I drop it down to about 80. I drop it down to 80 or so for car tags.
Yeah, that was somebody asked about car tags. That was coming up. Jacquard is pretty good. I don't think you can use it on car tags because when you clear it, it doesn't clear well, no matter what kind of clear. And baseball helmets, I had a problem with it. But other old shirts, I haven't had no problems with it. It's pretty good. It's just wet. It just sprays wet.
Okay. Yeah, I like to have multi-surfaces because, like I said, I deal with car tags daily and I deal with, and I don't like to have multiple bottles for colors. I like to keep things streamlined. So if I black, it's one black that I use or one red.
How many guns you run?
I typically like to run about four guns, but right now I'm down to two.
Black and a white or black and a color. Huh?
Black and a color. That's right. I've got about four guns I need to send off to West Coast so I can get them.
You have yours rebuilt. You don't work on.
Yeah, I get that. I get them rebuilt.
Man, I got like 80 guns just in a box. I like. I sent them over there. I keep thinking.
That's not bad. As they say, what, like $30 plus the parts? That's not too bad.
No. If you're going to get basically a new gun bag, yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, are you tech savvy when it comes to social media? So was it hard for you to learn TikTok or for you to?
The hard part with TikTok is trying to get it down to my business, I guess, because you know you can watch TikTok and it's like you got to do with the trends and things like that, but then translating it to your business to be able to get the views. That's the problem, right? Especially with TikTok right now, they're not pushing the shorter content anymore. They're pushing longer form. So the two minute, 3 minute videos is what's getting pushed out. And it's hard to translate that into, you know, somebody want to sit and watch a TikTok video of somebody airbrushing for 2 to 3 minutes. That's the hard part. That's the back and forth.
The last 2 minutes. Right. I think that's why a lot of, I know I watch, I can't think of his name right now. He painted my name the other night. He does lives and he paint names all night.
Crave?
Yeah.
Victor?
Yeah, Victor.
Yeah. I've been really good friends with Victor.
He was on the podcast. He was on the Verbal podcast. I think, I don't know what McCullough said, I should go back and do everybody over since we started doing video now. But I don't, this video is, I'm still, you see how I'm fidgeting and I'm moving, I'm scratching. Yeah. How I can't stay still when I'm doing this. All right, if you could tell a younger you to invest in something in your career, what would it be? But that stops.
You know, I would tell myself to invest into a very good laser cutter. Because right now, like, because I've thought about this. I was like, you know, I could give me a laser cutter and be able to cut all my stencils out and stuff. But then I was like, then I would have to get all my designs, 300 plus of them, digitally set to be able to cut them out.
Yeah.
And it's still to the point where it might just be as fast for me to just recut it with a stencil burner. Yeah. But you know, I wish I would have invested in it a long time ago. That way, it could sort of built it with itself.
Yeah, it's a lot of other things you can do with those things too. Like, yes. I don't know what they call them, big blue ones that they got.
Yeah.
And I see on TikTok.
No, and I want a good. Like I said, I want one. I want a good one where I could make some really good money with.
Yeah, not the little.
They do all kinds of stuff, the wood cutting and all that stuff.
But I think those are like what, 10? They be buying them like this here, 10,000.
Yeah, I think the one I've been looking at is like $6,000-$7,000 or something like that.
Yeah, they must be financing them, or what's that?
Whatever
it is. But who would you like to work with in your past or your future? I know. Yeah, I can't think of nobody either.
Yeah, there's actually, you know, I would really like to work with the guys over at Big Airbrush, you know, Pat and them. I not necessarily like the way, you know, the money side of their side of business, but the people themselves, the artists that work for them, they look like I could learn a lot of stuff from them.
Yeah. Steve, I don't know if you know Steve, but he's on Orlando. I go over there, I watch him a lot.
Is that the what's he look like?
Bald dude.
Yeah. I know shot about. Yeah. That's one of the. Yeah, I've seen him do so. I've seen a lot of stuff, a lot of his stuff, because he used to be up here in Panama City a few years ago.
Yeah. So, what do you think the secret in you staying in business so long? Is it location, or you think it's like just skill wise, people? You have like a clientele base, or that come repeat customers, or y'all just, since y'all in a tourist attraction, you just people come and go.
I get the same. Well, since I've been in the same location for 10 years, I do get a lot of repeat customers. But I think the way things are set up now at the beach, before, is a lot of walking traffic. Everybody walked everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now it seems like it's done in sort of like neighborhoods. Like, you have a group of hotels. That's your business right there. There's little three or four hotels that are right in your area right there.
Yeah.
That's sort of the way it works now. Longevity, I just think it's just be persistent. Yeah. Honestly, it's just because the area itself is known for airbrush artists. I don't think myself really anything real special in the area, because there's so many other artists in the area. But yeah, I think it's probably it's just my persistence being out here every weekend.
Yeah,
because I don't think if I didn't come out here, if I wasn't out there every weekend, it would go on just like anything else.
Yeah. I was trying to sell the idea, because when I had my store on the beach, I was trying to sell the idea of how Florida is, how the beach is airbrushed everywhere. It's just the people on Galveston was like, they're just so set in their ways that they don't want to try nothing new.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I tried to tell them, it's like, this is what everybody on the beach is doing. You know, just let me set up and I can show you what it can do. But
yeah.
Nope. And then
I have a friend that's in Galveston, but she does her own little booth.
Oh, I think I saw her on Instagram before. So she paints, she airbrushes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know
you. Yeah, the Galveston Airbrush, I think is what she calls it.
Galveston Airbrush, yeah.
Yeah.
And my shop was right in front of Walmart, but I couldn't get no people, no matter what I did. When I had my store here in Houston, so I opened up a store in Galveston. So I opened up a store in Galveston, couldn't get no, everybody kept coming to my other store. I'm like, I opened up down here. And that's one of the lessons I learned of using my own money, because I lost like $30,000 on that store.
Wow.
Yeah. So have you ever airbrushed for any celebrities?
No.
No.
I don't think I have. No.
I don't think I have.
I've tried. I've tried to get some attention from people on TikTok, but that hasn't helped yet.
I'll be tagging them. I do a couple somebody. I'll tag them and you expect them to see it.
Yeah. I've tried, but they no.
Yeah. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't know if it'll get any more notoriety or he ain't gonna pay you for it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
So another question somebody asked was, what's the most expensive item you ever airbrushed? I know some of these questions are like, but yeah.
Expensive item I painted an RC car before. I'm sure that's definitely more expensive than a shirt.
You're doing it because don't you paint the inside out, right?
No, I painted. It's just the outside. I just painted the outside, and we clear coated it. It was the guy brought it in. He's like, "Can you paint?" I was like, "I don't know. I'll try and see what I can do."
Yeah.
And he gave me he wanted like the 70s van, you know, the brown, the orange, the yellows type of striped thing. Oh, wow. I was like, "Yeah, we could do that." So that's probably the most expensive thing, honestly, that I've ever painted.
Yeah, I know. I saw somebody do it before, and it was you have to paint it from the inside. They were saying you got to paint it backwards, inside from the inside out.
Inside out, yeah.
I mean, that's too much thought process. Do you did you ever do any traveling, airbrushing?
I've never had to do that. My uncle, I remember them telling me they used to go do fairs over in Louisiana and Texas. Mm-hmm. They used to do the fair circuit in the off season. My uncle used to tell me about it. They used to sit out there, and he said they would sit out there and paint for 15, 16 hours straight, nonstop. People circling their booth. But before I got married and had kids, I would have been something I would have enjoyed doing, but I never did.
Do you do any outside events at all, or you just strictly shop?
No, just at my shop.
Yeah, have you ever done any outside events?
Nope, we never have.
Baseball tournaments?
My wife's asked me, hey, won't we go do an event here and there? I was like, why do I want to do that when I can just stay in my booth and I have air conditioning.
As I got older,
I don't know.
As I got older, I'm like, no, I don't want to go out there.
Yeah. and like I said, the only time I have the weekends free where I'm not making money out there is November. It's like end of November, December, and January. And what's going on in those months anyways? Mm. So.
Yeah. Well, they got Christmas stockings and stuff like that. But
this past year, especially with my social media, I was like, I'm gonna push this. Maybe I could just push it a little bit through. Give me a Christmas season. Let me see what happens. And you know what? I didn't make any money. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't. And I see people doing the stockings. I see people doing it, but I'm not selling it. So I don't know.
It's always a gamble. It's just
you can't
give up. You got to do it again until people actually notice it. But it's costing you money by buying all the stuff. Yeah. But it's a gamble.
I think last year I tried to do Halloween bags for trick or treating and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I did a few of those for friends and family, but that's about it.
Yeah. Normally Halloween we do we used to do, but since COVID messed all that stuff up, we do body painting and actually do face painting in my shop. But since COVID, it's starting to come back around now that people start to do body painting and stuff like that. But I got all that expensive stuff, but I don't think I'll use it again.
Right. I tried to get into body painting a few years ago, probably about nine years ago or so. But those paints are expensive.
Man.
it's an expensive little venture. Especially when you start really talking to people, they want like full body stuff. And then you start talking prices to them. They're like, I don't know if I really want to do that.
And it kind of paint costs money.
Yeah.
And all that time of sitting up there painting them.
Yep.
So, he said, what do you do for when? What do you do when you're off of November and December?
I just stay at home. I play a lot of video games.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's about all I do. Like me and my daughters play some video games on the weekends.
PlayStation, Xbox.
I have a PC.
PC. Oh,
my PC. If she has, and if it's a game that's, she has a Switch, we usually, the games we can cross platform, but if not, we have an old Xbox that she uses.
Yeah. My son is a big PlayStation. I bought a PlayStation and he took it over. I never got back on there again.
Yeah.
Well, I buy the games, I'll play a day, and then that's it. I'm done.
And I've been trying to do, I was thinking about doing some gaming content on TikTok.
It's a lot of people out there do that.
A lot of, I thought it would be kind of fun, especially in my off time or something like that.
You can stream that stuff too, can't you?
Yeah. Because I went ahead, I got access to the studio finally.
Mm.
So I can actually stream it from my computer.
Oh, cool. No, I ain't got that many followers. I got 225 people right now.
I'm trying to hit my 30K.
Man, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be like y'all with all these people.
And I'm talking to Victor. Victor's like, man, I'm almost hitting 100,000. I'm like, man, shut up.
He's on there every night painting.
Yeah, he's on there. Oh, dude, he hustles. He hustles. So I was like, you get yourself in a shop, man. That's like, you just need to get yourself in a shop. And he's like, I know he still thinks, but I still got to practice. Man, you got all the skills that you need.
You got everything you need.
Yeah, everything you need. You don't have to worry about that stuff, man. You have, I'm envious of some of your, especially your writing. His writing's like, man, it's like, wow.
Yeah. He's, if he can avoid the overhead and stay in his house and paint and just ship out, do you do any online orders or anything like that?
I do online orders. I don't do a lot. I wish I could do a lot more because I would love to be able to stay home and not even have to go out to the beach. Just take my lives here at the house and ship everything. But
I think Brian Neely has turned his thing. You know Brian Neely?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? Southern Dot?
Yep.
Something. Yeah. I think he got a big thing of start doing the shipping and doing online orders and stuff like that, and they're paying them online. And because Victor's selling napkins,
I know. Napkins. I'm like, dude. I was like, I give me some napkins and start selling me some napkins, man. You get cool, like $10 a pop, man.
Roll the paper towels ain't nothing but about 89 cents.
Exactly.
And you make about $400 on that one roll.
But yeah, I mean, I would like to do a lot more online orders, but I don't know if it's just, I don't get a whole, I get people asking all the time, especially during the lives. They'll even message me to the point. I was like, hey, you send me a message. We'll talk about it. We'll get some online orders, go through the whole thing of, you know, picking out their design and everything. I'll send them an invoice and that's the end of it right there.
Yeah.
I just felt like I wasted, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of my time.
Yeah. And that's the crazy part. It's like some people interested, but then once you tell them a price, okay, the shirt costs this.
Yeah.
My time is this and this. Oh, no. I thought it was like $5 or $6.
Well, I think the hard part, especially because I think I'm worth so much. I'm already worth so much money. My time is worth so much already. It's already in my head. And the problem is competing against some people online because I have overhead that I have to worry about.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I work in a shop. I already have somebody in my pocket with the shirt prices. I have somebody in my pocket on my rent of everything. And so my prices have to be at a certain point for me to, you know, make money off of it.
Yeah.
And then it's hard for me to compete with some of these Etsy stores and stuff like that. It's like,
who's selling the dirt cheap? But you know what? Yes. A lot of these Etsy people be cheating people. They'll show you this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
And then they're like, okay. So they'll send a file to the people, not the image. They'll send an image of a file of the image, not the actual transfer of it.
Right.
And they're like, what am I supposed to do with this? So they're coming to my shop a lot of times and I have to do it for them.
Right. Yeah, I've heard about the Etsy stores and stuff like that. The way they'd be doing people and stuff like that. They'll be stealing people's designs and saying it's theirs and it's not theirs, and you get it and it's like not even close to what it
is. Yeah, something totally different.
Yeah,
that's crazy. But a lot of people making a lot of money on that too, though.
Yeah, and then like I said, price wise, I'm like, I can't even. How are you doing the prices like this and free shipping too? I don't understand.
Yeah, how you paying for free shipping? Like I was doing the book, and I was gonna give it away, but then the girl was like, "Okay, it's $15 to make per book." I'm like, "Ooh, I can't just, and if I make 80 books, I can't just give away 80 books." And that's like,
right.
Figure out a way to. So I think since I'm doing a new this way and this way cost. I'll just take the money from the sales from the book and try to do it that way, or make ads. Like, I don't know if y'all see that that Pat's thing is scrolling by here that he's hiring.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a new way. It's just gonna do that for ads. If you want to pay for an ad, which will pay for the whole month, which is cheap. You know, this site is cost $35, so it's like. Just pay for the ad for the whole month to advertise.
Well, as like I said, I'm trying to build my followers up so I can get some sponsorships. If I start getting some sponsorships, I can do a whole lot of different stuff.
Yeah.
But until you get to that point where, you know, you're actually making some money off the social media. Cause I was making decent money from Facebook, TikTok.
Not yet.
Yeah. TikTok, man. TikTok pays you like literally like 2 cents per 1,000 view.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's ridiculous. But Facebook was paying like $3 for 1,000 views. And I was getting, during the winter months, I was getting anywhere from about 2 to 3, 4, 5 million views in a month.
Damn.
So I was making some decent, okay money. They cap you. You can only make a certain amount. It's only a certain dollar amount. After that, it's there's nothing except for ad revenue. But it was another. It was probably about another $1,200 plus another $200 or $300 in ad revenue.
Yeah,
and that was just post. That was just from posting videos.
That's crazy.
But they don't do that anymore. They stopped paying their creators now.
That's crazy. I think somebody was saying that they were going to take their stuff off of there and take their stuff off of Instagram and put it on TikTok or another platform that's paying people. But you just said TikTok ain't really paying.
TikTok's not paying. They're paying anything anyways. You could have 1,000, you could have 1 million views on TikTok, and they'll end up paying you like $20. it's ridiculous. The only way you're gonna make money off TikTok is once you get to a certain like followers, and you are able to translate that into sponsorships and sponsored videos. That's where you make the money off TikTok, is that having enough followers that sponsors come to you and say, "Hey, look, do us a video."
Like that. What's that? It's a couple of people. What's that? The girl who do all the dancing. Well, yeah. Made $1 million. Tell a girl, like, how the fuck y'all doing all of that?
Yeah. Well, like I said, you can make money off TikTok. It's just you have to. You're not going to make it off of views. And you're not going to make it off of ad revenue. YouTube is where you make for views.
Yeah, and that's a. When I first started, I had a site on YouTube, and I used to always do videos all the time. So I got it monetized, but then I just stopped making videos. Like, I'm too busy at the shop to make videos, so let it go.
I'm with you on that. Like I said, I was talking to my wife all the time. I was like, man, I really wish I could make some videos off TikTok. I mean, I have some good ideas for videos for TikTok, and I don't need 1 million subscribers.
Yeah.
You know, if you have about 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, you can make an okay living off of YouTube.
Man. Yeah. Well, see,
just from views and ad revenue.
This is attached to YouTube right now. Yeah. I had to open up a new site for the podcast so I can do the podcast here and Facebook.
Yeah.
But it's something different. So anything else you want to bring up, anything that you got going on?
No, I think we discussed everything I have going on. Like I said, my social media stuff, I'm trying to build up and trying to make that its own little thing. And my TikTok lives, I'm pushing my TikTok lives. I've been off. I haven't done any lives in a couple weeks. I wasn't feeling too hot a couple weeks ago. Just didn't feel like being on.
Yeah.
And then last week it was Thunder Beach for us, and I didn't have any content. Bikers don't like to buy airbrush t-shirts.
What's Thunder? Oh, no, they don't. I was at a we have a big bike rally in Galveston, and they buy food and beer. That's yeah. it. And bikers.
Yeah, they're not. They're not. I think Sunday. Sunday, I had a few of them stop in on Sunday right before I was closing. They're like, "Hey, we need some shirts for our grandkids." So I saw a few shirts at the end of it, but it wasn't my typical weekend at all. And I was just like, I just thought I had content.
I thought the same thing too. I thought it was gonna make a killing, but nope.
Yeah, no. Nope. Never have to make any money on a bike week.
Nah. So, all right, man. I appreciate the time, and thanks for being my first person on live.
I appreciate it, too. It's been fun.
Yeah, that's good. Appreciate it. All right. So, like I said, this is all live, and I'll send you all the stuff, and then I'll probably add it to my Anchor, too, as well. So, I don't know if you ever listen. You ever listen to any of the other podcasts?
Yeah, yeah. I've listened to them. Yeah.
Cool. I was going to say, I'll send you a link to listen to them.
Sounds good.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, man. You have a great one.
You too.
Airgraphic Podcast is a production of Airgraphics Airbrushing. It's written and hosted by me, fellow airbrusher Ralph Kelly. If you want to see any of my work, check out my website, www.airgraphics1.com, or my Facebook, Ralph Kelly. Thanks for listening.